इस ग्रेट शंकर दास अधिकारी जी की
जय। भगवद गीता ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are very, very happy to have the blessing of the Sangha of so many wonderful Vaishnavs and Vaishnavis here in Krishna Katha Desh. We have heard wonderful reports for many years about the Krishna conscious activities going on in this part of the world. And we could only imagine how sweet and nectarian it must be, all the katha going on here. We were just hankering that someday we can come here and taste the sweet nectar of engaging in Krishna katha in such places as Krishna Katha Desh. And now, by the causeless mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, we have gotten this opportunity to be here this evening with all of you to engage in the most nectarian, relishable of all activities, Krishna Katha. As we were driving here tonight, Radha Jivan Prabhu asked me, he said, "What will you be speaking on tonight?" And I said, "That will be decided once I arrive and I see all of your faces." So here I'm looking at all of your faces tonight, and I'm seeing wonderful, and seeing and hearing your kirtan also. I'm seeing there's a wonderful family of Vaishnavas here who are very eager to chant Hare Krishna mantra in kirtan. So you have picked out the verse tonight by your wonderful qualities. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatam tascha dridha vrita namasham chascha mam vakya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the Savior of the whole universe, the greatest spiritual master in the history of the world, actually. Where is there an acharya like Srila Prabhupada, who has spread pure Vaishnava Dharma to every corner of the world, even here? Just imagine what a powerful acharya. Purport by His Divine Grace. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising His holy name, His eternal form, His transcendental qualities, and His uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as a Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities, devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or a human being. That is devotion. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, and remembering Him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve the ultimate end, the association of the Supreme Lord in any of the five transcendental vessels. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determinants, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadashi, and on the appearance day of the Lord, etc. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatmas, great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. This one comment here, as we're reading this purport, is that a hint for us or not? Is Prabhupada giving us a tip? That the Mahatmas, you think, well, I'm not a Mahatma, so I don't strictly observe all the rules and regulations. But guess what? If you start strictly observing all the rules and regulations, you will become Mahatma. And what is the result for Mahatma? They are sure to achieve the desired result. So we have a choice. What do you want to do? Do you want to suffer in this karma chakra? Birth after birth after birth. So many nice things you can get here, like being packed up in a womb for 9 months and being bitten by worms. Coming out and getting sick. Getting scared of all the fearful things in this material world. And getting old and dying. Or do you want an eternal life of bliss and knowledge? We have the choice. Krishna is not forcing us. He is giving us free choice. So this is a hint. If we follow this pathway of sadhana bhakti, strictly observing the rules and regulations, then we become Krishna conscious. And when we are Krishna conscious, janma, what is that? He never takes birth again. Punar janma na vidyate. He never takes birth again. So now we read the last paragraph of the purport by Srila Prabhupada, as described in the second verse of this chapter. This devotional service is not only easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master. And in any position, either as a householder, a sannyasi, or a brahmachari, in any position, and especially nice thing for us here in Doha, and anywhere in the world, that includes Doha. Easy. And anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus become actually a Mahatma, a great soul. Om Jnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I'd like to see a show of hands tonight. How many of you would like to be Mahatmas? Does everyone raise your hand who wants to be a Mahatma? Anyone? Everyone? Okay. Now everyone raise their hand. How many people would not like to be a Mahatma? Let's do it that way. Some people may have been shy to raise their hand. There's one back there. Who's a confirmed Duratma, a cripple-minded soul. So we will all gang up on him tonight and give him tons of mercy to convert him to desire to become a Mahatma. Actually, this is the real position. It's not like in America they have Mahatma Rice. You know, that is not Mahatma. If you eat some Mahatma brand rice, then you become a Mahatma. It is not like that. It rubber stamps some, you know, powerful, pious politician as Mahatma. That is not how you become Mahatma. There were many sadhu gatherings of sadhus. You see. But this famous Mahatma, he was not going to associate with the the actual sadhus. He was associating with the politicians. So the real Mahatma is that person. Of course, anyone, a politician can also be a Mahatma. Arjuna was a politician. So it doesn't matter what your position is. You can be a little child, like this boy, this nice boy here sitting. You see, you can be an oil magnate, like the big oil magnates here in Qatar. You can have any position in society. It doesn't matter. You can be a businessman, a student. You can be a guru. Doesn't matter what you are, whatever position you may have. If you absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness fully, then you are a Mahatma. Of course, guru can't really be a guru unless he's a Mahatma. Otherwise, he's not qualified. But nowadays, it's a popular business. There are many gurus floating around. There's one guru, all she does is hug people. And they think she's a big guru, some fat lady. She gives you a big warm hug. And they think, oh, I became as blessed, I got hugged. So now I'm enlightened because I got hugged by this guru, the hugging guru. But the actual spiritual master and the actual Mahatma is that person described here who's always chanting the glories of Krishna, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before him. These great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So sometimes people ask me in my e-course, many people write in, they say, well, you know, why Prabhupada said 16 rounds? Where is that written in the Vedas? I say, why 16? Where is that written in the scriptures, 16 rounds? Well, let's see what it says in the scriptures. It says you should be constantly chanting 24 hours a day, right here. Satatam kirtayantam. So 16 rounds is Prabhupada's mercy, actually. Because according to Bhagavad Gita, if you want to go back to Godhead, you have to be chanting japa 24 hours a day. You can't go to the office, you can't go to school, you can't do anything but chant 24 hours a day. You can't sleep, you can't do anything but chant. But by the mercy of the pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, we can have a job, we can have a house, we can have an air conditioner for the hot days. We can have all material facilities and at the same time become Mahatmas. This is the 16 rounds. I mean, this is Prabhupada's mercy upon us. Of course, everyone knows when Prabhupada came to America, he told all the boys and girls, you chant 64 rounds a day. They said, Swamiji, we cannot chant 64 rounds. He said, all right, you chant 32. He said, Swamiji, we cannot chant 32. All right, 16. So this is the kindness of the pure devotee to give us this concession, 16 rounds a day. If we simply follow Prabhupada's program, which is adjusted for us in the Kali Yuga, then we can become Mahatma. So how do you think our movement will be successful? If we remain Duratmas like this, well, he was not serious, but if we remain Duratmas, those who are attached to material sense gratification, that's the difference. The Mahatma is only attached to Krishna. The Duratma is attached to material sense enjoyment. So if we remain attached to material sense enjoyment, we are still, to the extent that we are absorbed, we are Duratma, cripple-minded person. So do you think our movement will be successful if we remain Duratma? No. There's nothing very inspiring about a Duratma. He's greedy, he's lusty, he's angry. He's not a very inspiring person to be with, a Duratma. Who wants to associate with a Duratma? Ugh. It's like maybe at your job there may be many Duratmas there. Cow killers, you know, etc. It's not very enlivening to, not that one can relish the association of someone who's engaged in sinful activities. Of course, one is kind to them and make friendship. That's very nice. Devotees are very kind and merciful. They actually take great pleasure in being kind to others. That is, but to actually take shelter of such persons, to think these persons can guide me and inspire me of how to actually become happy and free from my suffering condition, this material existence, that's not a fact. Cannot do that. Not that we go away to the Himalayas, we don't want to associate. No, we associate for the purpose of trying to be Mahatmas in all of our, in with every attitude that we have, with every word that comes from our mouth, in every activity we perform with our bodies. We try to, a devotee tries to be a Mahatma so that others will be inspired to also be Mahatmas. A devotee should be so exemplary and so saintly that just like today Vaikuntha Pati was telling me that in his office the Muslim said, "You're a better Muslim than we are." So that's that. We should be saintly, have saintly qualities like that. The people, a Christian would say, "Wow, you're a better Christian than me." A Jew would say, "Wow, you're a better Jew than I am. Better Muslim than I am." This is. We should develop these kind of saintly qualities. This is called Mahatma. Mahatma means broad-minded, liberal. He doesn't think in a very narrow way. He has very broad-minded vision. Very broad-minded vision. Mahatma doesn't see, oh, here's a Hindu, here's a Muslim, here's a Jew. Mahatma goes beyond the bodily platform. He sees, here is a spirit soul. This spirit soul is part and parcel of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can I help this soul who is suffering in the cycle of birth and death to become reconnected with Krishna? See, that's Mahatma's vision. Mahatma feels love and compassion for all living beings. Even a dog, even a snake. Mahatma feels compassion. Here's a poor soul who's caught up in the body of a snake. Maybe I can give him some prasadam. So this is our Krishna consciousness program. Our Krishna consciousness program is to bring one from the position of Duratma to the position of Mahatma. That brings an immediate relief. This, in English language, that of course, Duratma, he is a miser. That's the meaning, it's miserly man. So it's very English, interesting, I mean to say, in the English language, note the connection between the word miser and the word miserable. It's not by accident that it happens to be the same M-I-S-E-R. The way Prabhupada would say, we can say do a similar, miser means miserable. Miserable means miser. To the extent we are miserly, which are we are Duratma, it is also called, what is that other word? Kripana, yes, Kripana, that's right. And I don't know, it's commonly known here, but in America, in American slang language, is the word creep. That person is a real creep. It means he's a miser. It's interesting. In American slang language, the word creep is the same as the Sanskrit creepin. So we should not be creeps, bunch of creeps, creepiness, duratmas. We should become very broad-minded. Very compassionate. That first compassion we manifest actually with the Vaishnavas. We learn how to live in a loving mood of service. Just like I come here and I see, I'm very impressed by the wonderful mood here. This is the proper mood. There's such a wonderful service mood here. And practically, I'm being waited on hand and foot. Can I do any service? Can I do any service? Can I do any service? I gotta just keep thinking, what service can be done? They're doing everything. Is there something more? They keep wanting more service. This is wonderful. This is called Madhyama Adhikari platform. You want to serve the Vaishnavas. Sometimes people, they want to go to the temple, they want to go to the synagogue or the mosque, but they just want to go and beg God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. That's called that's Kanishta Adhikari, materialistic devotee. So that all the churches, temples, synagogues, and mosques throughout the world, the present modern world, are filled up with Kanishta Adhikaris. They come to the temple, synagogue, mosque, or church to beg God, give me this, give me that, give me, 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 give me. You see? It's miserly. It's a dirty mentality. Dear God, give us our daily bread. The Christians pray. So is that love of God or is that love of bread? Dear God, please give me my daily chapatis. Is that love of chapatis or is that love of God? It's foolish, actually. These children here, do you have to ask your parents to feed you every day, my dear boy? Do you have to ask your mommy and daddy, please, will you feed me today? You don't do that. He said, no, he doesn't. Why not? Because they love you, isn't it? They're going to feed you anyway. You don't have to ask for food. So do you think we have to ask God for food? What kind of stupid idea is that? We have to ask God for food. It's less intelligent. We should ask the Lord, how can I serve you? Just like you're asking me now, I'm coming here. How can I serve you? How can I serve you? That's how we should approach God. How can I serve you? How can I serve you? My dear Lord Krishna, how can I serve you? And why do we do that? What is the prayer for doing that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Can you imagine how much Krishna is pleased? That here's a living entity who is his dearmost child. Every single jiva is the dearmost child of the Lord. Here is that dearmost son or daughter of the Lord who somehow ran away from home, the spiritual world, came to this material world to try to set up their own independent empire here and failed miserably at it, you see. And now it's realized what a fool they were to try to be God themselves in this cycle of birth and death. And now they want to come back. Just imagine if your own child was lost, some of you parents here with your small children. If your child was lost for 3 days, you don't know whether he's been, you know, he's hit by a car, he's been kidnapped, you have no idea what, and then your child comes back, how much happiness and joy you will feel that your child now has been just come back. So how much pleasure it gives to Lord Krishna when we sincerely pray, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When you feed your belly, your entire body becomes nourished. When you please Krishna, then you become ecstatic like anything. And you give pleasure and joy and love to every living entity throughout the totality of existence. That's such a sublime formula. Why the world hasn't taken it? This is so profound, it's so powerful, it's so sweet, it's so ecstatic, it's so nectarian, it's so enlivening, it's so uplifting. We can go on giving millions of words describing how wonderful this sublime process of Krishna consciousness is. Why the whole world hasn't joined the Hare Krishna movement at this minute? Why they haven't all come? Why there's only 100 of us here? Why there's not 100 million people? What's the population? Why the whole country has not come international? You have some big stadium here? Why the whole country doesn't come and chant Hare Krishna? Because they're not properly educated. They've been miseducated to think, I am this body. I am Katari. You see? I am Muslim. I am Christian. I am Jew. I am white. I am black. I am male. I am this. I am that. So many false designations of body, material designation. How badly they've been educated by the teachers of this planet. How badly the leaders have misled them. It is absolutely pathetic situation, the modern day so-called civilization. So we just have to count our blessings. How much Prabhupada has blessed us with this sublime knowledge. How much we are fortunate recipients of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, etc. how fortunate we are. So, let us take full advantage of this. We go about your normal duties, that is all right. But put them on the, please, put them on the back burner. It's like when you're cooking. What goes on the back burner in the stove? That which can cook automatically. You put the rice in the back. The puris, that goes on the front burner because you have to stir them. It's very labor intensive cooking the puris. But the rice, you stick it on, you set the right temperature, put the lid, and that's it. So do you put the rice on the front burner and the puris in the back burner? No. That would be foolish then. You put the rice on the back burner and the puris on the front burner. Because front burner is where you're giving your most attention. So, your material duties, education, occupation, etc. That should be on the back burner of your heart. Your heart is like a stove. So, on the front burner of your stove, that is Krishna consciousness. And on the back burner, there you put, you know, earning my living, paying my bills, you know, keeping the car, gas and oil in the car, etc., etc., etc. Air in the tires, you know. On and on and on and on. You know, it is material life. But that has to be back burnered. Otherwise, you know, we're going to end up in your next lifetime. Another one of these wonderful material bodies. Mucus. You know, wind up in a... If I said tonight, I have a special program tonight, anybody who wants it, any volunteers, outside we have a bag. In that bag there's mucus, bile, blood, urine, stool, vomit. And anybody who would like anyone who would like to volunteer to, after the program, you come out, we're going to put you inside that bag. Who would like to volunteer? We put inside a bag of mucus, bile, blood, stool, urine, etc. Anybody volunteer to go inside such a bag? Well, guess what? We're all sitting in such a bag right now, this material body. Because it has some nice cover, some nice packaging. We're thinking, oh, it is very nice. See, my body is so good looking. Everyone thinks, they look at me and they think I look good. So I'm very good looking, you see. We're very proud. Yes, my body looks very nice. It's a slick packaging job for Maya. And so Maya is very good at marketing. She's able to market this bag of mucus, bile, urine, blood. You know, it's something very nice. She puts Madison Avenue, the advertising district of New York City, to shame by her expertise. Nobody is a better advertising agent than Srimati Maya Devi. But one who has actually heard from the enlightened sages, you see. One who is following the pathway of the Mahajans, the Mahatmas. Mahajano yena gatasya panta. One who is actually on this pathway of the Acharyas, the great Mahatmas. They are not taken in by Maya's slick advertising or propaganda. They can see through the hype. They see through the hype. So how do we come to that position of seeing through the hype? This is a very important thing. Our minds are pulling us away from Krishna consciousness. What's the fact? They're pulling us away. So how do we bring that rascal mind under control? It's like I asked one of the members today about initiation. She said, well, the mind is in the way. So how do we conquer the mind? Well, you know the formula given by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Chatur. He gave a very nice program for the mind. It's like outside we've all put our shoes. Because you don't bring them to the temple. But he said, actually, here's a very good program for your shoes. In the morning you wake up, you take your shoes, and you beat your mind 100 times. And then in the evening, before taking rest, You take that broom over there you use to sweep the floor, and again you beat your mind 100 times. This is the program given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati from Thakur. You beat that rascal mind. The mind requires discipline. We cannot let that mind run wild. And also, our great Acharya, Govindadas, he has also given a very nice program for the mind. Vajavulai mana Shri Nandana Nandana Habhaya Chara Nada Vindare. My dear mind, he took a different approach, you see. Bhaktisiddhanta take the heavy approach. Smash that rascal mind. That's a good approach. And Govindadas, he took the soft approach. You know, we hear it said that the Acharya, he is strict like a thunderbolt and soft like a rose. So Bhaktisiddhanta was taking the strict like a thunderbolt approach, to bashing the mind with a stick and a broom. You see. Govindadas, he's taking the soft as a rose approach. He's saying, my dear mind. He's flattering, he's saying, speaking very softly and sweetly to the mind. My dear mind, you just engage yourself in the devotional service of the Divine Son of Nanda. So whether you take the hard approach of beating the mind, or you take the soft approach of flattering the mind and begging it to engage in Krishna consciousness, or you take both approaches, you should take whatever approach best suits your bringing your mind under control. Everyone has to see, we all have our own individual minds, isn't it? So each and every one of us has to see what is that most effective technique for bringing my mind under control. Everyone has to do like that. How can I bring my own mind under control? You may say, well, this sounds very nice, Sankarshan Prabhu. I know it's good, I know we're supposed to do that, but I'm not ready for it yet. I'm just not ready for it. I want to get it materially right now in my life. But do you think there's some injunction against the devotee getting it materially? What did Prabhupada say? He said a Krishna conscious businessman can aspire to be the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. You know that? It's in his books. A Krishna conscious businessman can aspire to be the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. Just think of a businessman, just like if Bill Gates was a devotee, just think how many temples he could build, how much prasadam he could distribute, you see. We have no objection if you want to become materially advanced, but just do it along with your spiritual advancement, that's all. Vidyam cha vidyam yashta vedavayam saha. If you want to achieve the full blessings of immortality, Sri Upanishad says you run on two tracks, vidya and avidya, both. Process of nescience and transcendental knowledge side by side. We have no objection if you want to become materially successful. But simply use that in Krishna's service. That's all. Yad karoshi yad asnasi yad jahasi tadasi yad. Use everything for Krishna. That's all. You don't have to. Did Arjuna give up his occupation when he surrendered to Krishna? No, just the opposite. He wanted to give up his occupation out of some false fear of renunciation. And when he surrendered to Krishna, did his occupation suffer? No. He became the number one person in his profession. He wiped out the gurus. He became top-notch professional warrior when he surrendered to Krishna. So we don't say you have to be a failure materially if you want to advance spiritually. No. You simply put the priority on Krishna consciousness and then everything else will follow automatically. And actually we leave that to Krishna. We are not attached to material success or failure. We leave that up to Krishna. We make our endeavor to render the best possible service to Krishna. That's all. And we leave everything up to him. Ultimately, the material life will be a failure. That's a fact. No matter how successful we may be in this material existence, it is guaranteed sooner or later materially we will be a complete total failure. So therefore the main emphasis is always on spiritual advancement. There are two rails on the track, but the spiritual rail is more important. There are such things as monorail trains also. If you become very spiritually advanced, then you can graduate to the monorail platform. Nothing but Krishna, with no other consideration. Simply engage in Krishna Katha 24 hours a day and depend on Krishna, whatever may come or not come. That's all. That is called sannyas. So, we're very happy to be with you, wonderful Mahatmas. And as those Dharatmas who are aspiring to be Mahatma. Actually, that's our real position. I can flatter and say Mahatmas, but actually the fact is we are Dharatmas trying to learn how to become Mahatma. That is our actual position. But the person who is sincerely endeavoring to become Mahatma, Prabhupada accepts they are also Mahatma. That is Prabhupada's kindness. They asked him, they said, Srila Prabhupada, in those days they said, Swamiji, how many pure devotees are there in ISKCON? No. How many pure devotees are there on the planet? Prabhupada said, how many devotees are there in ISKCON? So anyone who is sincerely trying to follow the pathway of the Mahatmas and become a Mahatma, they are accepted by Srila Prabhupada as Mahatma. That's a fact. He accepts them as Mahatma. So we can ask if any of you have some questions. Be happy to try to answer them. Of course, maybe you're already pure devotees, you've already realized everything about Krishna consciousness. There's no more questions to be asked because everything has been fully realized.
I can't understand what you said. Huh? Oh, there's too much vibration. Okay. It's echoing. Yeah.
So I have one policy. When the audience doesn't want to ask questions. Okay.
Which is the better approach to awareness, the monorail system or the rail with two tracks, which leads us to the right perfection?
Which is the...
Yeah, there is one thing is that monorail you said.
Monorail? Or the two track.
Either way, you're properly situated. Whether you're engaged in material activities and perfectly dully telling them in Krishna's service, or you're acting occupationally, you're acting as a sannyasi. In other words, whether you're acting as a sannyasi or a grihastha, if you're purely offering that in Krishna's service, then there's no difference, actually. A monorail train and a duo rail train are both good trains. It's not that, if it has two rails, it's not a good train. Either way is good.
Even that a monorail can be a material side also, and monorail can be a spiritual side.
Well, the materialists try to be monorails, but they don't, no spiritual life, only material life. But that track comes to an end very quickly. You may have a very nice monorail track, but then all of a sudden it reaches an end and there's nothing there. You get to the last rail and it stops. So your train may be going very nicely, but then it runs off the track. It derails. A spiritual monorail goes on eternally, never stops. So we require that monorail, Krishna consciousness. And in the beginning, we have to engage our material tendencies in Krishna's service. Vinyam Chavinyam Yashtad Veda Vayamse. In order to realize the full blessings of immortality, we require to engage both nescience and transcendental knowledge side by side. Because we have a material body, it requires maintenance, so we maintain that body. But we do it in a Krishna conscious way under the guidance of our spiritual master. In that way, we're properly situated. Next question? Yes.
Prabhuji, regarding getting up early in the morning, is very good for our sadhana. But if there's some impediments, we are not able to get up in the Mahamurta and become very difficult sometimes. Sometimes we do, sometimes we miss out. And is it compulsory that daily in and out, in the beginning stage, I don't mean the later stage, but the beginning stage, some devotees feel very difficult to get up early in the morning. Otherwise, everything is going on fine, but early in the morning, devotees feel very tough. So, is there any?
It's just a matter of getting your body. We have to. Thing is, just go to bed earlier and get up earlier, or you can always take a nap. No, to train oneself to rise early is very, very important. Everyone should try to do that as early as possible in their spiritual practice. Because the sooner you can get acclimatized to rising early, rising by 4 o'clock, the faster you will make progress. Because just imagine you get up every morning, you bathe, put on dhoti or sari, devotional attire. You put some tilak on, then you have a mangal arti. You chant the shinga prayers. You offer tulsi arti, and then you chant 16 rounds. You study the Bhagavatam for at least a half an hour. And then you take your breakfast and you go to the office. Just imagine how Krishna conscious you'll be the whole day. It's like saying, okay, I have a mobile phone. Should I have it fully charged before I leave the house or partially charged? If your mobile phone is partially charged, what's going to happen in the middle of the day? You won't be able to get those calls that are coming in. You see? So if you want to be Krishna conscious all day long at your job and running here and there around Doha, then you have to have your battery fully charged. And you get a good charge in your battery, you got to get it by 4. You got to get your battery fully charged up, so not like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, all of a sudden your spiritual energy is gone and the material nature is just overwhelming you. No. You get that battery fully charged up, get a strong charge in the morning, and then you're ready to go and conquer the world for Krishna. At least you can conquer your mind. You can conquer your mind all day long because you've got that strong spiritual energy going for you. Your psyche got surcharged with very good spiritual energy. So we recommend everyone, you have a good morning program every day. And if you're not able to do that, then you maybe one of your friends, he's able to do that, you go have a program at his house. If you don't have enough enthusiasm or enough determination to do it yourself, then ask your friend. Find one friend who's doing that. And you say that, can I join your program every morning? You call me every morning, make sure I'm up, and I will come take shower and come straightway to your house and we can have program together at your house. One stick can easily be broken, but if a bundle of sticks cannot be broken. So if groups of you can get together and according to where you live and have a morning program at one house, maybe you can have a rotating morning program. One day they have it at one member's house, another day at a number of members' house, and this way develop a whole Mangal Arti network here. Mangal Arti is happening everywhere, all over Doha. Just imagine how the spiritual energy would become so much more powerful. Next question. Yes, Mataji?
When I was as a small child, I was taught that we should have respect for all different faiths.
All what?
For different faiths. Christian or Muslim.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or you're in Krishna consciousness.
Yes, yes.
I was taught that to reach God, I might call him Krishna, somebody else might call him
Someone else has what?
Someone else might call him Christ, or someone else might call him Allah.
Okay, okay.
But it's one God and different names.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's what I was taught.
Yes, yes.
But now we are hearing the only way, one, Muslims will say the only way is Allah.
Uh-huh.
Christians will say the only way is Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And then in Krishna consciousness, we are saying only Krishna.
No, that's not Krishna consciousness.
That's not, I have misunderstood.
Yeah, that is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means, just like there, how many suns are there in the sky? The sun? There's one. How many names are there for the sun? How many languages are there on the planet Earth? In Arabic it's one thing, in Hindi it's Surya, in English sun, in Spanish El Sol. In French it's one thing, in Latvian, in Russian, and there's hundreds and hundreds of names for the same thing, sun. So as long as we are describing that fiery ball in the sky that lights up the day, then it's not that you can say moon and that refers to the sun. But the sun does in fact have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of names according to different languages on this planet. So in the same way, God or Krishna, he has unlimited name. We never say that you have to chant Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, Nam Nam Makari Bhagavadani Jasaravashatak. There's hundreds and millions of names for God. And each and every one of them has the full potency of the word. So we don't say that you have to chant Hare Krishna. If you want to chant Allah Akbar, that's very nice. But become a pure Muslim. You want to chant the name of Christ? That's all right. Become a pure Christian. We don't say you have to convert from one religion to another. Actually, you know this, where this concept of many religions comes from? Human beings. It doesn't come from God. There's only one religion, to love God. But man has subdivided Hindu, Muslim, Christian. Why? Because in the Kali Yuga, what is the nature of the Kali Yuga? It is an age of quarrel. We like to fight. We like politics, power politics. My group is better than your group, and I'm going to exploit you. Ha 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 ha. Power politics. This idea of many religions is simply a manifestation of power politics. That's all it is. Power politics. Lord Christ was not teaching him something different. He actually came to Puri and saw Lord Jagannath. It's described in the Aquarian Gospel.
Where did
he
stay?
Huh?
Where did he stay?
There's a book called The Aquarian Gospel of Lord Jesus, and it's described how Lord Jesus went to India and Puri saw the Ratha Yatra of Jagannath. Prabhupada said because Christ so much loved Lord Jagannath, now, he said, when he first introduced Ratha Yatra in the Christian world, he said, because Christ loved Jagannath, Jagannath has loved Christ, and therefore Jagannath has come to the Christian world. Because Christ loved Jagannath and Jagannath loved Christ, now Jagannath has come to the Christian world in the form of Ratha Yatra. Prabhupada said that. So, Krishna consciousness means, if someone thinks that Krishna consciousness, that only you can, only Krishna consciousness means to only chant the name of Krishna, and that means they're not a low level devotee. They don't have a high understanding of our philosophy. They're a neophyte devotee. They don't have a very high, complete understanding of our philosophy. Of course, we do prefer chanting Hare Krishna. Why is that? Because we're the Hare Krishna people. Is that why you prefer it? We were brainwashed by Prabhupada? No. I would have never have agreed to do that if that was no. It's stated in the Kali, in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. But there is, in this age of Kali, there is no means of spiritual advancement more potent than chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's why we chant Hare Krishna, because it is given in the Kali Sansarana Upanishad. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted it. He didn't. You see, you have to understand, Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, even though they're God themselves, they did not act in a non-exemplary way. You see? What did Krishna tell Arjuna? He said, that very ancient science of the relationship between the Self and the Supreme is today told by me to you. That was a very ancient science. Krishna is referring to some ancient science that was passed down by the great acharyas. Krishna is acting, he's speaking as a guru, actually, in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He's talking as a guru who's passing on, faithfully passing on the ancient science which was passed on by the previous acharyas. So also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he's Krishna himself, he can concoct anything he wants to. He's God. But he is chanting Hare Krishna on the basis of Vedic authority. Kali Sansarana Upanishad, Briha Naradiya Purana. He is chanting, he is introducing Nama Sankirtan, not just that on a concocted basis, but on the basis of Vedic authority. So on the basis of Vedic authority, we chant Hare Krishna. But as a philosophical principle, any names for God are good. All are accepted by Chaitanya and all accepted by us. Our only beef, that's probably not the right word, but complaint we have with the persons who are advocating other types of religious practice is they're not following their own teacher. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. How many slaughterhouses are being operated by Christians? You want to be Christian? All right, then do be a Christian. Even the Quran, which is more, you know, in many ways brutal, but even there it mentions there are certain injunctions for protecting animals that are not being followed. So, follow your own scriptures, at least do that much. Follow strictly. Become a saintly person. See, a saintly person doesn't want to harm anyone else. He feels compassion. If someone is a true follower of Allah, a true follower of Christ, a true follower of Krishna, they will become Mahatma. They will develop saintly qualities. Mahatma recognizes other Mahatmas. Not the, oh, how you're designated. He says, this person has saintly qualities. I can see they have saintly qualities. So we do not distinguish on the basis of label. We recognize on the basis of saintly qualities. One who is fully absorbed in loving God 24 hours a day with every thought, every word, and every activity. But someone who advertises himself as a religious person and has an arrogant attitude, who speaks proud, offensive language, and who acts in a sinful way, they are not Mahatma, they are Duratma. There are people, there are Hindus who do that, there are Christians who do that, there are Muslims who do that. You can't hide under some label. You can't be a Duratma and pose as a Mahatma by taking some label. Christian, Hindu, Jew, Muslim. No. Mahatma means you must develop the heart of a Mahatma. That's Mahatma. You can't say, well, I've been initiated. I'm initiated ISKCON devotee. I'm saved. It's the same disease. Even there you can be a trap. Well, I'm initiated. I got Kanti Mala. I got Tilak. I'm saved. No. Those things are to help you. Those are items of sadhana bhakti to help you to become a Mahatma. Now you have to actually develop the qualities of Mahatma. Initiation is the beginning. Initiation means you have now enrolled in the university. You're formally enrolled. Now you have to do your homework. You've got to do your assignments. You have to please your professor, your spiritual master. This has been assigned to you by Krishna to oversee your advancement. Now you're initiated. Now you've begun the pathway.
not that now my business is finished. Now I have my diksha. Now I'm a pure devotee. No. Jai Hare Krishna. Safe journey. Healthy leg. So, any other question? These are nice questions.
As we see that you are in the world tour, and we see the hectic life, and I have gone through your emails, you are so much busy in Krishna consciousness. This is really wonderful. And sometimes I think that how you spare time, how much time you get to sleep, or how you spare time to answer so many questions. So many devotees are asking so many questions from you. And also, I would like to have some, please enlighten us, how is your experience in the Krishna consciousness world tour till now?
Ah, this world tour has been very exciting. We left the U.S. on the 1st of September. And we're seeing that throughout the world, this movement is going on all over the world very nicely. Throughout every corner of the world, there are people who are getting together and doing this. They're chanting Hare Krishna, they're having Krishna Gita, they're cooking prasadam, offering to Krishna. We're experiencing that there's nothing more wonderful than getting together with such mahatmas and sharing Krishna consciousness with them. There's nothing so wonderful. And we're also seeing that just by engaging in Krishna consciousness, in this mood of service, you see, if we're in this mood of giving service, then our hearts become free of anxiety. This is one thing we're realizing. If we just take up this mood of serving, not trying to enjoy. See, if a materialist, he gets an around-the-world ticket and he goes on around the world. He just wants to enjoy. He goes to some place, so let me see the Eiffel Tower, let me go to some restaurant, some boat ride, you see. If we have no interest. I've been to India 14 times, to Vrindavan. And you know, Vrindavan is very near to Agra, the famous Taj Mahal. On my last visit to India last year, I went to Agra for preaching, and we did not go to Taj Mahal. Wherever we go, we go to so many famous places in the world, we never go to see any tourist sites. We have no interest in these things. Maybe if we drive by, we may look up for a minute. Oh, you know, just see, but they make a big deal out of it. It's nothing really, they make a big deal out of it, you know. We may look up for a minute. Oh. But actually, we never go for any tourist sightseeing business. We're simply engaged in serving Prabhupada's mission. That's all. We have no other business 24 hours a day. And by that full absorption in Krishna consciousness, the life becomes so sweet, it becomes so wonderful. Just imagine if there's a gulab jamun, that you can squeeze unlimited juice out of that gulab jamun. When you become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, it's like that. It's just, there's so much sweetness there. No matter how much sweetness you squeeze out of it, there's more sweetness. So we're seeing like that. If we're in the mood, pure mood of giving service, the enjoyment, the nectar, the sweetness that can be tasted in doing that is unlimited. Even if I have nothing else to do, I can just remember some experience I had in the, you know, we just did a tour. We went to 14 different European towns and cities, preaching this Krishna consciousness. 14 different cities and towns. Some places you go, the people are it's an opulent place. Some places you go, and the people are more in a poverty condition. But everywhere, where there is Krishna consciousness, it doesn't matter if it's a wealthy country or an impoverished country. Wherever there is Krishna consciousness, that is the real wealth. That is actual wealth. The more we find, the more that we can have loving exchange with the Vaishnavas, that is actual wealth. The more we can give our love to each other, you see, that is our wealth. So this is a But Mataji and I are feeling a great opportunity, a great blessing, that we have this opportunity to go and have loving exchange with so many Vaishnavas all over the world. First, we did a week in Germany. I went to Helsinki, where I initiated a disciple. And then we went to Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Bulgaria, Amsterdam, and now here. So this is actually the duty. If one can free up one's life in such a way that you can be a full-time preacher, that is considered a very good thing. There are four different stages. There's brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasa. So we have come to vanaprastha stage. We are full-time preaching, Mataji and I, just traveling all over the world and preaching. That's our whole life. We will go back to the USA in January. We will spend some time preaching locally for 2.5 months, do some local preaching there at our home base. And then we will come back to Europe, European tour. And then come back and do North American tour. And then spend another couple of months preaching at our home base, and then do another world tour in the fall. They say, aren't you tired? Actually, I am more energized on the road than I feel more energy and enthusiasm on the road than I do when I'm sitting in Austin. I feel more enthusiasm and energy here. Because you're energizing me by your enthusiasm. I'm getting so much energy from each and every one of you. You're energizing me by your enthusiasm. It works that way. I energize you, you energize me. It's all coming by Prabhupada's mercy, actually. It's all the energy is coming from Prabhupada. And the more we surrender ourselves at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet to serve him and to serve his representative, our seniors in ISKCON, and to serve each other, our equals, and to serve the juniors by helping them to come up. The more we do like this, the more we can feel more and more of that mercy coming from Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas. So we're very happy to hear that many of you are reading our thought for the day and our weekly lesson.
It's wonderful.
It's very nice. Very nice. So we're happy we can be, you're finding it some enlightenment. Today we were a little shocked because our server was down, but somehow it came up again. It's the first time it's ever been down. In 3 years since I started, the server was down. I was sitting there at Vaikunthapati's house. What's wrong? I kept trying to serve. I was connected to the internet, but no server to send the message. It was coming up. But finally it came up by Krishna's grace. I was thinking I have to call America to find out why the server's down. But luckily it came up by Krishna's grace. So again, the thought for the day went up nicely. So, any other questions? Yes.
So what is worship? What is that work? Is it religious work or office work?
What is that worship? Is that the religious work or the office work?
Work is worship.
Is religious activity worship or is work worship? According to Krishna, everything is supposed to be worship. You see? Was Arjuna worshipping Krishna on the battlefield by fighting the battle? Yes. Arjuna didn't want to worship Krishna. He wanted to just worship his bodily conception by giving up the battlefield. So actually, that battlefield activity was the highest worship of Krishna. So if you're actually, of course, depends on how you spend the money. If that money is not being spent in a Krishna conscious way, then it's simply karma. You're tangling yourself more in this material existence. But if every penny of that money you earn is spent in a Krishna conscious way, you see, doesn't mean you have to give all the money to ISKCON to be afraid to be Krishna conscious. No, you send some portion you spend for your own personal needs and family needs, but that spending has to be in your own family and personal needs, has to be in a Krishna conscious way. And then by spending every penny in a Krishna conscious way, then that work is not different. It is bhakti. how you spend the money, that's the big thing. Because the work you'll do, you have to work. Some work has to be done. Even I have to do my work. I have to give my lectures and do my thought for the day. That's my work. I also have my work. My work is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Everyone has their work for livelihood. But the result of that work must be 100% offered to Krishna. If I start lecturing Mayavadi philosophy, you see, then that's not good. So the result of your work, that must be, that money is your result. That you must spend in a Krishna conscious way. You must see that you're maintaining a wife and children. So one child. I met your son today, he's very nice. Where is he? Yes. Very good boy. He's a very good boy. So you have to see that your wife and son are becoming pure devotees of God. They're becoming liberated from the cycle of birth and death. Because you're maintaining them. So it's your responsibility to see my wife and my son, this is their last lifetime. That is given in Bhagavatam. Do not become a father unless you can deliver your wife and your child from the cycle of birth and death. So how do you do that? You have to just follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. It's very simple. It's not hard. We don't have to figure it out. The books are there. The devotees are here who know the books and are following them. We just have to take shelter of the sadhus and take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's instructions, take shelter of Guru, and then everything will be there automatically. You just follow the instructions. Just like with your job or your work. When you went there, someone gave you some training, isn't it? How to do the job. They oriented you to your job. Do you follow the instructions? You do. Your supervisors, your managers are there. They train you on how to do the job properly. So in the same thing, in our movement, Hare Krishna, we have the training. If you follow the training, the books are there, the devotees are there, the senior devotees are here, the guru is there. So many training facilities are there, just like at your company. So here you have the training how to become a pure devotee and make your wife a pure devotee and make your son a pure devotee. And if you're in that mood that, okay, I'm using this job to maintain myself so I can become a pure devotee, to maintain my wife so she can become a pure devotee, and maintain my son so he can become a pure devotee, then your work is worship. Absolutely, it is worship. It's very good. And it is religion. It is chanting. Actually, if you work your job offering all results to Krishna, your work is as good as chanting Hare Krishna. But still, you got to do 16 rounds. Prabhupada said that everything we do in Krishna's service is chanting Hare Krishna except sleeping. That is waste. Of course, even that is spiritual, because you have to recharge your body to keep it engaged in Krishna's service. So that is also spiritual. So there's the answer for you. Now do that. You become a pure devotee, you make sure your wife becomes a pure devotee, and your son. That's your duty. And then everything you do is worship, 24 hours. Question? Yeah.
Recently we have seen the tsunami and Katrina. What is the reason?
What is the reason? The reason is you are sinful. You are a rascal. Therefore you must be punished to bring you to your senses. There are three types of miseries: adiatmic, adibodhic, adidaivic. These are called adidaivic miseries. Tsunami, hurricane. Now Hurricane Wilma is coming in towards Florida. Now that's the next one.
Tsunami, Katrina.
Yeah, Katrina, Vita, Wilma now, so many things. This is because they are so much engaged in sinful activity. They must be brought to their senses. So if you can't learn by hearing, then you have to learn by being punished. An intelligent person will hear, do not engage in criminal activities because you'll be punished. And just by hearing, you know. But someone else, he may hear but think, no, I will do. So he has to be put in the prison and punished. And then he learns not to do. Some are put in the prison and they still go on doing. even with all punishment, they still cannot stop. So these are punishments given by nature to wake up the living entities. What are you doing here? Why are you engaged in sinful activity? But the trouble is, they don't get the message. They're so dull-headed, they don't get the message. They go on sinning, 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 and they wonder why God is doing this. It is God's kindness to you.
That means we are doing something wrong.
You are doing something wrong.
We are.
Huh?
We are doing something wrong. That's why this.
Yes, that's right. We're doing. It is our karma coming back on us. We have caused it. We have caused so much suffering to others. Now we must also suffer. That is karma. So in the Vedic time, no such things were going on, you see. They were curbed down because the king was Krishna conscious and the citizens were all engaged in Krishna consciousness. Everything was very auspicious. You didn't have tsunamis and hurricanes coming in like this. Nature is very balanced in the former times. This is symptoms of Kali Yuga. So if you want to put a stop to tsunamis, just spread this Nama Sankirtan movement. They have no way to stop a tsunami. They have no way to stop a hurricane. But we have a ways to do. If you spread this Krishna conscious movement, get everyone to chant Hare Krishna, make the whole planet Krishna conscious, you won't see these tsunamis and hurricanes coming like this. It won't happen. It will not happen anymore. Next question. Someone in the back? Is everybody paying attention in the back there? You can hear me okay back there?
Yes.
Okay, good. Jai. You can ask questions also from the back. I'm watching for any hands back there. No, you can ask questions. Yes, you can ask. So, what are the questions, Arvind? I haven't told you my policy if you don't ask questions. Okay, here's one.
Sir, even Mahatma Gandhi, even though he did very good things, but he was killed by God's aid. So, is death of Mahatma Gandhi, he did bad things or good things?
What is it?
So, Mahatma Gandhi was also doing so many things because he was shot there. So, was he also doing something bad?
Everyone gets their karma. Karma is very fair. So I don't know the history, but and he was very pious, and Prabhupada actually appreciated him in many ways. He did not, however, see, according to Vedic culture, politicians should not hang on to political activity. At a certain point, he should give that up and take up Krishna consciousness. Full-time Krishna Bhakti. Prabhupada wrote him a letter and urged him, now you have achieved your goal, now you take up this preaching Bhagavad Gita. But he never came to the point of following Prabhupada's instruction. So because he continued to dabble in politics, he was shot dead, actually. That's why. Because of his political involvement. Even though everyone appreciated him, people who appreciated him as a person shot him dead. They offered him respects and they shot him. They respected him as his saintly qualities. But politically, they couldn't stand him. So they shot him. If he had followed Prabhupada's advice not to engage in politics, now you've gotten your goal, British are gone, now just preach Bhagavad Gita. But he continued to stay active in politics. He could have turned it over, now I just preach. But he didn't do that. He stayed active. And because of he stayed active in politics, they shot him. Because politically, they found him to be a problem. And that's the history. So everyone is meant at a certain time. I understand the king here, he was getting old and he wasn't giving up the kingdom to his son. So the son took it by force. Actually, the king is meant to voluntarily give the kingdom over to his son. And the son is qualified to take over. Not that he has to be, the son has to kick him out. That is Vedic culture. The king voluntarily gives up his political post. Next question. Yes.
I'm a very fallen soul, but I just want to get this off my chest, something that really annoys me.
All right.
Within Krishna consciousness, there are some people who are very good in following the four rules, being able to cook pure food and distribute prasadam and spend a lot of time in Vrindavan. Yet they don't have compassion when it comes to treating other people. They're very arrogant, they're
okay, that's why we have it. When Prabhupada would initiate someone, there will always be a lecture on the 10 offenses. Simply chanting Hare Krishna and following the four rules is not enough.
No, but they also recite the 10 offenses every time, but it doesn't seem to me.
Reciting the 10 offenses is not enough. What is the first offense against the holy name?
To be
critical of devotees, to have a negative attitude towards devotees. If we don't know how to love devotees, that means that love is being inhibited by negative attitudes towards devotees. So, this is called hati, mata, mad elephant offense. That if we don't know how to properly love and respect the devotees, then we are committing the first offense against the holy name. That means we are kanishta adhikari, we're not majjam. So we are meant. Everyone is meant to come to the Majjhima platform by learning how to respect all the Vaishnavas, how to love and respect them. So if someone is not learning how to do that, will we tell them they have to leave the movement? Would that be a loving thing to do for us to say, "Oh, well, you haven't learned how to love the devotees yet. Get out." No, we have to give them our love. You see, that's called Mahatma. If someone is disrespectful to you, you can disrespect them in return. I'll teach him a good lesson. Or you can love him in return. And then you're actually training him how to come to the platform of love. Do you think Prabhupada was loved and respected by everybody from the very beginning? They didn't know how to love and respect Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada had his little apartment, and the boys would sleep in the storefront. They would come and take shower in Prabhupada's apartment. In his personal apartment, they would take their morning bath, and they would stand in line for the shower, and they would have Swamiji standing in line also to take the shower. They wouldn't say, "Oh, Swamiji, you can go first." Prabhupada was standing in line to take a shower. They didn't know how to respect him. But he was very kind and loving and generous, and gradually, because of his kindness, and they learned how to properly respect him and honor him. You see. So you have to be like that, like Prabhupada. If someone doesn't know how to properly love and respect you, if they are disrespectful, and it's not that you disrespect them in return, you have to love them in return. And then from your example, they will learn how to become on a higher platform. So, do you disrespect them for doing that?
No, because we are not to be judging anyone. It's Krishna.
If I see someone disrespecting someone else, then what can I do to stop them? I just by showing the perfect example of respecting everyone. That's the key. I see that's the way to do it. If you want to put an end to disrespect, the way to do it is by becoming very respectful. That's the way to do it. You have to show what is that? Yad yadacharati shreshas tattare vetarajana sayad pramanam kurute lokastadana vartate. You want to put a stop to disrespect? It's very simple. Become a mahatma by respecting everyone, whether you agree with them or not. A Vaishnava respects even the ant. You know the pastime. What is that pastime that you know? I said, "You know the pastime." You nodded yes. You read my mind. The pastime of that Mugrari. Now you know that. Mugrari the hunter. He was so disrespectful. Can you imagine? His father, he didn't know anything. His father taught him, "My dear son, this is how you hunt. You kill the animal in such, you shoot the animal in such a way he does not die immediately. He has a slow, painful death, and you watch him die and you can laugh as he dies slowly in great pain. Talk about disrespectful, huh? So that's what he was doing. He would shoot an animal in such a way he didn't die immediately, and he would die a slow, painful death. And McGrory would watch it and laugh. That's how his father trained him. So Narada Muni came upon the scene. He saw, what is this? What is this hunter doing? He said, kill them full. That was his first order. Can you imagine Narada Muni? He said, kill them full. His first order, you kill them all away. That was the first order of Narada Muni. So Bhargava said, all right. And he said, now give me your bow. Now break your bow. What? Break my bow? Now I will eat? Give up my job? Break my bow? How will I survive? He said, you do not worry, you just worship Tulsi, chant Hare Krishna, and I will supply all your eatables. So he was doing that. He put complete faith in the words of Guru Maharaj, Narada Muni. He was doing like that. And all the people in the area, they heard, oh, that hunter, he has now become Vaishnava Sadhu. So they all came for darshan, and they always, you know, rice and vegetables and flour, something. He had to start a food for life program. He had so much bhoga he couldn't eat it all. Prasad distribution program. You see? So Narada Muni, he's traveling, you know, he's liberated spaceman, he's flying through space with his sidekick. They call it, in Texas it's called sidekick. His partner, you know, Parvat Muni. They were traveling through, flying in the liberated space. Then Narada said, I'd like to see how my disciple Magrari is doing. Let me go see. So they came. And Magrari sees, now Guru Maharaj has come. So immediately when you see Guru Maharaj, immediately, you know the rule. Whenever the spiritual master enters the room, immediately you hit the floor, obeisances. When he leaves, obeisances. When you enter the room, obeisances. When you leave the room, obeisances. Obeisances, obeisances, obeisances. Guru means obeisances, 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 obeisances. No limit to how many times you offer your obeisances to Guruji, Guru Maharaj. So, as soon as he's seen Guru Maharaj, immediately, now am I done with that? But no, there's some ants. He sit very carefully, without hurting the little ants, picking them very carefully. You must respect the ants. You see. So if you're actually Vaishnava, then you respect even a little ant. What to speak of other Vaishnavas? Even the ant is respectable. So if you see that Vaishnavas who are not properly situated, they're still on the material platform, they're being disrespectful to other Vaishnavas, you can preach to them. You can say, my dear Prabhu, my dear Madhaji, don't you know that a Vaishnava is respectful even to an ant? How you can disrespect this? But you must do it in a respectful way. Not that you disrespect them and preach respect, that is hypocritical. You must respectfully tell them that they should be respectful. Show by your example. You see, that's more powerful than the words. But the words should also be spoken. If someone is being disrespectful, we have to tell them. You're being disrespectful. But do it in a respectful way. So they will be inspired by your respectful example. Yes, but where is there a non-Vaishnava ultimately? Every living entity, Jiva, Sarupa, Hare Krishna, Nityadas. Every living entity is actually a Vaishnava. Some are awake and some are asleep. That's all. Every single Jiva is a Vaishnava actually. Every Jiva is a Vaishnava. Every single, even the ant is a Vaishnava. Everyone. Are part and parcel of Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavam tat sarvam vartate. Every single living entity is emanating from Krishna because he wants loving relationship with that living entity. That's why he's emanating that living entity from himself. So yes, Nanavodi we respect. There is Vaishnava Apara, there is another term, you know, the other term is Jiva Apara. So yes, Vaishnava Aparad is there and Jiva Aparad is also there. We cannot be disrespectful to any Jiva. That doesn't mean we can't tell them they're wrong, though, and correct them. But it must be done with compassion. Prabhupada could tell someone they were a demon, and they would like it. I actually met with the head of a psychology institute in Riga, Latvia, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he was completely into all this bogus philosophy. And I told him, what did I tell him, Manaji? I told him that he was something. I told him he was some bad thing, a demon, or he was, I forget how what I said, but he actually accepted it with a smile. What? I told him he was a cheater. Because he didn't know. I told him he was a cheater to his face. And he smiled and loved him. He did, actually. He said we need to cooperate. He actually appreciated. I told him there's Vedic psychology. And he respected it very much. I told him he was a cheater and he actually liked me. He very much appreciated what I told him. He told me he was a cheater. So if you actually speak to people with genuine compassion in your heart, you can tell them the truth and they'll like it. That's my practical experience. Of course, you know, I've been preaching for 34 years. It's not, you know, not that when you first start preaching you may not be able to do that. So you have to just preach according to your ability. But the more you become expert at the art of preaching, you can tell anybody anything and they'll like it. Yes. Yes, human being is marginal, yes.
Can you please elaborate on that?
Yeah, marginal means you can go either way. You can be absorbed in the spiritual energy or the material energy. That is the meaning of marginal. You're in a midway, even though we're spiritual by nature. Because we are also marginal, we have the tendency to go towards spirit or towards matter, either one. That's the meaning of marginal.
On the borderline.
Margin means the borderline. The margin of the page, huh? They say, how big is the margin? The margin means the edge of the page. How big of a margin? Margin means it's by the edge. That's the meaning of marginal. So marginal means you're on the edge, the separating line between spirit and matter. That's where you're situated as marginal energy. So you can go either way. You can go towards Krishna, you can go towards Maya. That's the meaning of marginal. Yes.
Talking about uprights and offenses, we may do so many offenses externally. Sometimes when we do not take devotional service, aren't we doing offenses to ourselves?
Oh, she's asking, is there such a thing as self-apparat? Can you offend yourself? Why not? If you don't take the Krishna consciousness, you're committing offense against your own spiritual nature. Don't be a self-apparati also. Don't offend yourself by not taking the Krishna consciousness. Don't cheat yourself. Yes, that's right. That's right. It's called in Sanskrit Atmahana, the killer of the self. Killer of the soul, that's right. So Atmahana refers to someone who is a butcher or someone who eats meat. They are Atmahana, killer of the soul. It also refers to someone who doesn't take up Krishna consciousness because they're killing their own soul. Virtually. Not, of course, you can't actually kill the soul, it's eternal, but you're, for all practical purposes, you're killing it by keeping it away from Krishna. that is killer of the soul. So don't be the killer of your own soul by staying away from Krishna consciousness. Would you like to kill your soul tonight? Anybody want to kill their soul? Any volunteers to kill yourself? So you must surrender to Krishna right now. Fully surrender unto Krishna. Immediately. Otherwise you're Atmahana. And say, well, I'm surrendering a little bit. But why are you not surrendering completely? What advantage you get by, what advantage do you gain by not surrendering? What advantage do we get by not fully surrendering to Krishna right now? That's my question. What advantage do we gain by not fully surrendering to Krishna right now? Nothing. It's simply a disadvantage. So therefore we should not partially surrender to Krishna. We should fully surrender to Krishna now. That is intelligent. Are you ready to fully surrender to Krishna right now?
Yes.
Yes. I'm getting it. Yes. We should have full faith that if I completely surrender to Krishna, that everything will be covered. Not that I'll starve if I surrender to Krishna fully. Krishna is feeding the atheist. Do you think he'll let you starve if you surrender fully to him? No. We can think, all right, at this moment now, I will fully surrender to Krishna. We can pray, my dear Lord, I've been wandering in the cycle of birth for millions of lifetimes, trying to separate, be separate from you, but now I realize how foolish I have been. Now, my dear Lord, I pray to you, please accept me as your eternally surrendered devotee. If we sincerely pray to Krishna right now, each and every one in this room, we pray to Krishna, please, my dear Lord, accept me as your eternally surrendered devotee. Krishna will not recognize your prayer and he will reciprocate with that prayer according to the degree of your sincerity. So we should be praying like that at every minute. Actually, at every minute we should pray like that. Next question. Thank you, I'm very happy. It's a wonderful question. See, the more, here's a little man. Bait. The more you ask questions, the more likely I am to come back next time. It depends. If there's no questions, I may never come back again. If there's not enough questions, it means you're not really interested. Because actually, I go to places where no devotees are going and they desperately need preachers. Here you have preachers coming all the time. So how much do you really need me?
Very much.
So the more I see you asking questions, the more I see you feel the need for me to be here, and the more inspired I'll be to come back. So there's a little bait for you.
Sometimes people have so much respect for you that they are too much involved to see you.
Huh?
They are too much in awe to say something.
That doesn't attract me to come back. I'm not interested in being in awe and having people in a state of awe about me. That doesn't attract me. I'm interested in something in philosophical discussion, in, you know, back and forth philosophy. That attracts me. But being worshipped, you know, I have so many disciples who worship me as good as God. It's not a big deal. You know, to be worshipped is not a big deal for me. But to have some meaningful philosophical dialogue, that attracts me. That attracts me. That appeals to me.
Can I ask you a question on that now?
Yes.
Why would you want somebody to serve you?
I don't.
You shouldn't expect people to serve you.
I don't.
The
Vaishnava doesn't want anybody to serve him. That's right. Vaishnava just wants to give service. He has no desire to accept service. You know, when I first offered Prabhupada a Vyasa-san, you know what he did?
He offers you obeisance in return.
When Prabhupada was first offered a Vyasa-san, you know what he did? He cried. He started crying. He said, I am not fit to sit on that chair. But I have to do so on behalf of my Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura. So
So Vaishnava has no desire to be served, actually. That is Vaishnava.
So they are giving mercy.
But if nobody gives service, nobody accepts service, then how can we give service also? We're supposed to serve the Vaishnavas, right? So if nobody's willing to accept service, then we can't, there's no way to give service. So somebody has to accept service. That's another type of service. To accept service is another type of service. Actually, a Vaishnava is embarrassed to be served. He thinks, who am I to be served? I'm a creep. I'm a creepana. Who am I to be served? It's embarrassing for him to be served. But he does so to give the others an opportunity to advance themselves in Krishna consciousness. You understand? Yeah. This is a nice point that my wife has made here. In the Upadeshamrita, there are 6 loving exchanges that all devotees are meant to do. You're meant to give gifts to others, receive gifts from others. And that gift could be an object, it can also be an act of service, like, you know, doing a service for someone. That's a gift also. So we're meant to give service to others, accept service from others, accept gifts from others, distribute prasadam to others, accept prasadam from others, reveal our hearts to others, and have others reveal our hearts to us. These are injunctions that we are meant to follow. So actually accepting service is an order given by Rupa Goswami. A devotee has to also accept service. That's his duty. I give you service, you give me service, we exchange back and forth, you see. I give you some service, you give me service, but back and forth. That's called the exchange of love.
Even Lord Krishna serves his devotees.
Krishna also serves. The Rajasuya sacrifice, who did the foot bathing? Krishna washed everyone's feet. He wanted to be the foot bather. He wanted to serve all the guests. Krishna himself is, yeah. Yeah, that's another thing. Guru Seva is, Krishna says you have to serve Guru. Pariprasnena Sevaya. That's the duty, to serve the spiritual master. So this, for the spiritual master, that's an embarrassing position. Why I should be served? But he has to do that on behalf of his Guru. That's it. It's a service, that's it. It's another way of giving service, is accepting service. The way of giving service, to gratefully accept service. Gratefully means to deeply appreciate that service for the Maharaj, even though you may not even need it. It may even be a botheration to accept so much service. Sometimes it's easier just to do it yourself than have somebody else do it wrong. You know what I mean? I can just do it myself, it would be so much easier. But to give the other opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness, the spiritual master accepts their service. And look what Prabhupada went through, and accepted the service of those boys at 26 Second Avenue. There was some big donation had come, and Prabhupada had gone to San Francisco. You know the story? He went to San Francisco, and some cheater, Mr. Bogart, he was a slick-talking real estate agent. He came in, the boys didn't know anything about buying a property. He came in and he cheated them out of like $10,000 or something in 1966. That was tons of money for them. They had no money, but they had some big donation. This man cheated them out of the money. Prabhupada gave them the service of taking responsibility for that money. If he had personally managed it, they would have never been cheated. So Prabhupada had to go through so much difficulty to get that money back, because he'd given that service to his disciples to help them learn how to do things properly for Krishna. So Prabhupada, by giving the service opportunity to his disciples, had to take so much inconvenience upon himself, when he could have done it himself so much more easily. So the spiritual master does that. He will accept service even though it's an inconvenience and a botheration oftentimes for him to do that. Questions more?
Last, it's not a question, a request. you please share with us your association with His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Ah. What is my association with His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada? Actually, I am associating with Prabhupada right now. Prabhupada is here with me right now, here with all of us right now. And I'm associating with His Divine Grace right now. Actually, I can only speak because He is empowering me to speak. Otherwise, I have no ability to speak at all. But Prabhupada is sitting with me just now in my heart, and He is empowering me what to say when you ask the question. Otherwise, I can't say. What do I know? I'm just a fool. I'm a complete fool. Fool and a rascal. But somehow Prabhupada has captured me by His love, and He is sitting with me in my heart, and He is guiding me how to answer your questions very nicely. So, actually, the first chances I had to meet His Divine Grace, I turned them down because I was very proud and arrogant. I didn't want to accept any authority. I had an opportunity to come and meet Srila Prabhupada. I wouldn't go. In 1969, He was giving a lecture just a few blocks from where I lived, just walking distance, 5-minute walk from where I was living. Prabhupada came in Berkeley, California, and gave a lecture. I was invited. Makam Mahaprabhu, my godbrother, he invited me. You come, my spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, is speaking tonight in this hall. You come in here. I did not go. I was very proud. Now I am great. I am a great fool. I didn't go. And then again, later on, the devotee said, oh, Prabhupada is going to be a wonderful festival in a Los Angeles temple, and Prabhupada will be there. You come. You come with us, and you can see Prabhupada. I was so fooled. I am great. So I went on thinking, I am great, I am great. But then so many miseries came in my life. I realized I'm not great. Krishna was very kind. He put me through hell. And I realized, actually, I'm not so great after all. I better pray to God how I can be His servant. And as I intensely began, I knew that the only relief from my suffering was to become a lover of God. So I was praying how I can become a lover of God. My dear Lord, guide me how I can be Your servant. I was begging Krishna, or God, please bless me that I can be Your perfect servant. And then one day there was a knock on the door. I was staying with one friend named Mike Bridges, and his friend Margaret came on a Sunday, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. She came and said, there's a Hare Krishna Swami in town. He will be at my apartment in 1 hour. So I was there. It was Vishnu Jada Maharaj. He was one of the most empowered preachers that Prabhupada ever had. The Prabhupada said because he is personally a nice devotee, he has made many, many nice devotees. So I simply heard about Prabhupada from Vishnu Jana. And I saw the wonderful saintly qualities of Vishnu Jana. And I so much appreciated him as a great sadhu, a great mahatma, that I thought if this Prabhupada can make a person like this, then I must also join. So I decided, yes, I will accept Prabhupada as my guru. I've never even seen him. Yes, Prabhupada is my guru. I surrender to him. And then after surrendering my heart and soul to Prabhupada as my eternal spiritual master, then I got to meet him. The San Francisco airport, I finally saw him coming off the airplane. And we went from the airport then down to the Rath. I didn't hear him speak at the airport. But we went to the Rathiatra side. This is 1971 in Golden Gate Park. And Prabhupada got on Subhadra's cart, and I heard the very first word coming from the lotus mouth of my eternal master, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and that word was Jagannath. That was the first word I heard come from His lotus mouth. Jagannatha Swami Nayanapatagami Bhavatumi instead of my dhamma. He gave a very nice short lecture. Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, please come to my vision. The devotee is praying to Jagannath Swami that you please come to my vision. So his divine grace explained that actually, this was many non-devotees in the audience. He said, actually you have all seen God. He told everyone, you have all seen God. You see, the devotee is praying, Jagannath, please let me see you. And now he is telling us, actually you have all seen God. It's an amazing thing. So Prabhupada then he explained, he said, Rasoham Upsukantaya Prabhashmi Shashashuriya. See, Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the light of the moon. So you're all seeing the sunlight. So you're seeing Krishna. You're seeing God. In this way he explained to us. And then he went on further to explain. He said, every day you're drinking water, you see. Once, twice, thrice, more than that every day. He said, if every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. So this is my first meeting with Prabhupada. He was telling us that we have all seen God. We are all experiencing God at every minute. It's simply a matter of understanding. So this is how I first met Prabhupada in person. Was this speaking in this way? And I've never forgotten that lecture. It's sitting in my heart. I'm still hearing Prabhupada speaking. I'm living in those words. There are two forms of guru. There's Vani Seva, I mean Vani and Vapu. Vapu means his physical form, and Vani means his teachings, his vibration, what he is speaking, what is coming from the lotus mouth of guru. There are two forms of guru, Vani and Vapu. Now Vapu, everyone's running after Vapu, but so many devotees who stayed around with Prabhupada, they are not, they gave up Krishna consciousness. So the real thing that makes one solid in Krishna consciousness is to be very attached to the instructions. Vani Seva, serving the order of Guru. How many times did Prabhupada actually meet with Bhakti Siddhanta?
8 times.
8? Yeah. Now it's a very, many devotees are very happy when they can show some picture of the in their photograph, they are there and Prabhupada is there, isn't it? It's the pride and joy of every Prabhupada disciple, if they can find one, and I also have some, there's a video where I'm there and by the Vyasa-san, you know, in Pittsburgh, I'm there and Prabhupada is there, everyone has their, you know, but how many pictures are there with Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta in the same photograph? Have you ever seen one? Is there any photograph with Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta in the same frame? No.
No, we have.
Yes. That's right. Now we have Dola husband. But the point is that Prabhupada did not physically associate with Bhakti Siddhanta that much. That's not required for spiritual advancement. If you have absolute unflinching faith, yasya deve para bhaktir tatha deve tatha guru, if you have unflinching faith in the words of the spiritual master, then all the Vedic wisdom will be revealed to you. You become an enlightened spiritual being if you have firm, unflinching faith in the words of the spiritual master. So, that has kept me going for all these years. I have firm faith in whatever Srila Prabhupada has said. It may be logical, it may not be logical, it doesn't matter to me. My association with Prabhupada, I had some physical association, I had some correspondence with him, about 10 letters we have written back and forth with each other. But my main association with Srila Prabhupada is by associating with the orders he has given. And in that way I'm always associating with him, and I'm becoming more and more intimately associated with Srila Prabhupada day by day, moment by moment, for all of eternity. As I become more and more and more and more surrendered to his orders and instructions. And you can do that too. By serving the servants of Srila Prabhupada. just like your initiated disciple, by serving your Prabhupada's representative, Jayapataka Swami, yeah, by serving your Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, one of the greatest disciples of Srila Prabhupada, then you're giving great pleasure to Srila Prabhupada. Hey, Prabhupada told me to do whatever my authority tells me without question. So he wants you to work serving his representative, Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, with full love and full dedication. So the more you do that, by your relationship with your Guru Maharaj, that's how your Prabhupada is accepting your service. And Krishna is accepting your service. Questions more?
How can we serve Jayapataka Maharaj in he's going to different places?
The same way that I'm serving Prabhupada. Vani Seva. Whatever instruction he has given you, take that as your life and soul. He wants you to make a spiritual revolution here in Doha, so you do that. That's it.
Your first visit in India. It is your first experience in visit in India.
You first met him in India, was it?
I said, what is your first experience and first visit in
India? Oh, when I first went to India, I felt like I'd returned to my home. I'll be quite honest, I was in tears when I first landed in Delhi in the middle of the night, back in 1980. I was in tears. It was a mystical experience for me landing in India. So I think I was an Indian in my previous birth. Because I actually began worshipping Krishna even before I knew any of Prabhupada's teachings. I had read one Bhagavad Gita in the library, which was not Prabhupada's edition. You know, patram pushpam palam payam. If you offer me a leaf or flower, fruit or water, like with love, I will accept it. So that verse was properly translated in that edition, even though it wasn't either as it is. That verse was correctly translated, and I was actually doing that. I got a picture of Krishna. I was offering everything I ate to Krishna before I even met the devotees and knew about ISKCON. So I think I was an Indian in the previous life, my previous life. Because I decided to go to India in the fall of 1968 after worshipping Krishna in my apartment in Denver. I decided I cannot relate to this Western society, I will go to India and simply become a renunciate in India. I spent my whole life as a spiritual beggar in India, renunciate, sadhu in India. I decided to do that. I was leaving on my way to go to India, but then I had a realization that I was supposed to go to San Francisco instead. And I went there, and I walked into the park, and who did I meet? The Harinam party. So, questions more? Yes. Turn the ringer on. Turn this ringer. Yes. Ask the question loudly, please. Yes. So, you don't understand that verse? You want to know what's the meaning of that verse? Can someone relay the question? You're speaking about that verse, action, the one who sees action and inaction and inaction and action knows things as they are, that the verse? You want to know what that means? So does someone up at the front here understand the question?
She wants to be compassionate for her about the verse. Just as you said, explain what it means.
Yeah, that's what I said. You want to understand what that means?
Yeah.
Yes. I just gave a lecture on that verse the other night in Amsterdam, so I'm well prepared to speak on it. It's very simple. Um, the Maya bodies, they want to become inactive. So they don't create any more karma. So they try not to do anything, sit down and meditate somewhere. Don't do anything anymore. No job, no family. Just sit down somewhere, meditate, study Vedanta. They want inaction. They're looking how to become inactive. Action means reaction. So they want no action, so there's no karmic reaction. That's their goal. But the trouble is, they're breathing. Every time you inhale, you're killing so many microbial germs. You're committing mass murder every time you inhale. So you're trying to be inactive, but yet you're active. You cannot avoid being active. So that is called action in inaction. You're trying to perform inaction, but yet you're still active. You haven't gotten free from activity. And the other side is one who sees inaction in action. So, if one acts in Krishna's service, is there any karma? No. So when you act completely for Krishna, like Arjuna did on the battlefield, that is inaction. When you act for Krishna, that is action in inaction. And when you falsely renounce this world, that is action in inaction. So that is the difference. So I think our time is running out here a little bit. Everybody has to get up at 4 o'clock for Mangalarti when I get home tomorrow morning. We're encouraging everyone to rise early as possible and have some puja at home. The Larti, chanting 16 rounds, following the principles, studying Bhagavatam. We encourage this. The more you can have sadhana bhakti in the morning, your battery will stay charged all day. So we want to stop at the katha here and go on to the next part of the program, which is prasadam. So we thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.